You guys ready to jump into this?
Let's do it.
Let's fucking do this. Dez is on a timeline. Jeremy, God, can we stay focused?
Let's light this candle.
Oh, let's light this candle. That should have been the name of this podcast. Thank the light this candle. I am your unbonded warder, and these are my wolf brothers. Interrupty and his cousin.
Interruptus Maximus is my name.
Interruptus and the guy who just shakes his head even though you can't hear it.
Interruptus Maximus and the books are better, Urseus.
There you go. I love this guy.
Red wine for you.
Oh, look at you. Pinkies up.
Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. I am...
I'm trying so hard to not interrupt you.
Made it this far, you don't give a shit why we're actually here. You just care that we are.
The whole goal of the Wheel of Time podcast is to try to intro before Justin interrupts me 9 times.
Jeremy?
What's up?
Why are we here?
Man, we're here to talk about some wheels and some times and some Wheel of Time. And Dez has some really good stuff that he's been going over. Some of the stuff that he has questions about in the books. And we have been trying to answer his questions, but mostly we've been talking about stuff that has nothing to do with anything that's a Wheel of Time.
Mostly we just do dumb shit like, El Rueda del Tiempo, número 20, 9, no, that's 29, 209, 209.
And if we do talk about Wheel of Time, it's usually...
with spite and anger.
Something around book 12 and 13, like something we might get to in like season 7 or 8 if we get that far.
I'm actually super excited about the news that we have, so don't be a jerk.
Try to excite me over this.
I could excite you better if you read faster.
Basically, what I can tell is they got confirmation of our speculation.
No, okay, they said, okay, so they said early 2023.
Who's they?
Nablus, quote the Telegraph, I think. It's a UK. It's a legit, like, paper, and, like, they have dropped, legitimate, like, start dates for series and stuff. Plus, dude broke it down on the timeline. The release dates are, like, Good Omens is coming out on Amazon. Something else is coming out, like, right now or, you know, real soon. And there's a Dead Space coming up, like, you know, first quarter of the new year. And so it kind of makes sense.
Why the big I mean, maybe it's going to be some big holiday drop. Like, they have to have a clue now, but they're not saying it because they're
being
afraid.
Real fucking cagey, man. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
There's zero chance that they're going to drop it right before the holidays because we're 2 weeks away from Christmas. They're not going to just go all of a sudden.
Yeah,
here
there's
it is.
No way they're going to pump it for at least a week beforehand, don't you think?
I'm talking about dropping a trailer in an Origins or something.
That might happen.
That would be, dude, like Origins Christmas morning would give me a fat
Merry Christmas.
In Loyal's voice. Yeah, no, he said, you know, the non-confirmation was kind of the confirmation, and he found it important enough to re-record the video that he was about to drop. So I would put a little bit of significance. And between him, the What Up dude, and then there's like a Weekly World News or Weekly What News or something like that. They're usually
Weekly World News. The bat kid.
Shut up. But it's something that's you know, like usually pretty legit as far as like Wheel of Time stuff. And they had a bunch of stuff from, it was like their Brazil's version of like Comic-Con or something. But the Donald Finn was down there and Sierra Coveney was down there. That's what those clips were talking about. And Leandrin was down there, the chick that plays Leandrin. And they were talking about like season 3 starting to film beginning of the year next year. And that also confirmation from Rafe Judkins is that season three is going to, I'm fucking excited about it because I'm sputtering. Like, they're going to try to, that's going to go more of a direct adaptation from The Shadow Rising specifically.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And so I was pretty excited about that because obviously that's one of our favorites. That was when I really fell in love with it. I remember I met you at like at the Pietro's or whatever, that BP in Lodi yeah. to get The Shadow Rising from. You're like, dude, I just finished it. I got it like 4 days ago. I just finished it. And you got to take it. And then I remember like getting into it that night, like when I got home, like my parents were going someplace and I got super stoned and just read for like 5 hours. I was like, this is so good. I got pizza and soda and I'm going to read my mischievous teenage years. I'm going to get super stoned and read this book all night. I was such a bad kid.
I got to look and see when The Shadow Rising came out because I don't think I was old enough to drive and I don't think you were smoking weed as much. You might have been 14 at the time.
I'm pretty sure, dude. When I got it, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Let's see when it came out.
Maybe it was more like book six, but I swear to God, it's
September 15th, 1992. Yeah, I would have been 15.
You just start? No.
Yes, I would have been 15.
You would have had a permit.
So it's probably the Fires of Heaven.
I think it was Fires of Heaven. We were both working
for the company, and I was pretty much just 16. So
yeah, I think you're thinking Fires of Heaven.
Oh, Jeremy's always got a fact check.
Hey, by the way, the books are better than the TV will be too. The show.
Speaking of fact checking, I want to do a little reading from my new favorite website called movieguide.org. I don't know if you guys have come across this.
Did you start going to that because you hate IMDb's new interface so much?
I'm now using this to write my podcast descriptions for Time Pop. It is, I don't want to disparage any solid God loving church going Christians out there.
Okay.
But I find this website fascinating because it's built to warn good solid Christians about what not to watch. But it's obvious that the person writing it has watched these programs in great detail.
Jeremy's mom would have loved this website. Bro, do you remember like the one time when your parents were out and we were like, me and you and Micah were like hiding and we're like watching Delirious? I don't know where we got it. At your house? We were like watching Delirious and like the other one, I can't, Raw.
That was me, you, Micah, and my brother, my buddy Pete.
It was Pete.
It was Peter. Because Peter had them on, he had recorded them.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. And it was just the four of us, dude. I thought it was maybe Sap or Stevens or somebody. I couldn't remember, but.
No, it was my boy, my buddy Pete. My buddy Pete was an awesome dude. He introduced me to all the.
The double best man, Pete?
Nope. That was Brian.
No, that's not Pete. That's Brian.
That's okay. Brian. Yeah. Brian, I was the best man at both of his weddings. No, Pete was a buddy of mine. He introduced me to all of the Eddie Murphy stand-ups, the Raw, Delirious. Yeah. So, and then we went and brought him over to the house. I think we were drinking Amaretto Sours because we were really...
Or was it Bartles and James? Our drink of choice. Fuck White Claw, bitch. We were drinking Bartles and James.
Yeah.
We were drinking Amaretto Sours because Pete's sister had made those for us. And I was like, ooh, this is really good when I was like 14.
You did introduce me to Amaretto.
And White Russians. She was like, made us a White Russian. And I was like, wow, this is not very good. But this Amaretto Sour, that's not bad.
Lisa's like, they have Bartles and James in the Wheel of Time? It's amazing.
It's the one thing that survived.
It survived the breaking.
All right. So here we go, real quick. While The Wheel of Time is overall less explicit and more appropriate than many modern fantasy series, it is still jam-packed full of excessive violence, nudity, immorality, and worldview problems. For these reasons, Movie Guide finds the series to be excessive.
What?
I agree completely with that.
That's the fucking most ridiculous shit I've ever heard.
Super excessive.
I can't think of one time where they refer to a nipple.
Yeah, there's definitely no, I mean, unless belly.
There's no nudity in the books, man. There is like hinted at sexual, I mean, like later on, they'll just like.
We're talking about the TV show, though.
Oh, the books were better. Uh-oh. Ah, gotcha, motherfucker.
There were way more boobs in the book.
Yeah. There were, because I think I saw a ghost of a shade of a nipple in this entire season in the bathhouse. And Game of Thrones knocked that out in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
And it's brother-sister fucking, too.
I mean, she does get washed in the river. I mean, there's some good, solid viewpoints going on in here, people.
Well, let's be honest. She was shoved into the river.
That's true.
She was shoved.
They're lying. The show contains many instances of nudity, including one non-sexual instance of full male rear nudity. Oh, right. We do see Lan's full rear.
See Lan's buttocks.
And several lengthy scenes with upper female nudity.
Nope, there was no titties.
I mean, shoulders. I mean, we get some shoulders. I mean, it's...
Well, there's the bathhouse scene.
Yeah, there were no boobs in the entire... I can't believe they're saying that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They showed as much as they could without showing anything.
Bro, I have seen more flesh on network television.
I in what
or
show?
Or close to it. Wizards of Waverly Place. Sorry. I don't know. I didn't have a reference, you know? Hannah Montana. I don't know.
I hope you're wrong.
All right. I gotta give a plus. For example, the Aes Sedai take an oath that they will never lie or use their magic to kill another person. It also shows the destruction that greed can bring and encourages honoring your elders, respecting others, and helping one's neighbors. Although characters do not always act upon these values.
Really? Because I feel like TV. You're right. TV show. The book is like, I felt like the books are so wholesome in so many ways.
They're definitely like, they're preaching good stuff, but this is reality. Like, I'm never going to use an axe. Oh, well, except when someone's trying to kill me.
Except to chop that guy's head off because he's ruining my life.
I'm not going to kiss out of wedlock unless she's really hot.
Jesus.
So now we're going to talk about the Wheel of Time. The Great Hunt. Chapter 22, The Watchers. I'm super excited about this because the bond fascinates me. And I'm excited to get into this. I know we're going to end up jumping way ahead. We'll try to keep it from getting too spoilery. I mean, actually, they kind of spoil. If it goes the way they say it's going to go, they spoil it for us. So we can just go ham. If it's mentioned in book two, then we're not spoiling it in anything. So this is, The Great Hunt, Chapter 22, Watchers. I'm going to start it at about 6:45. We'll listen again about 4 or 5 minutes.
I'm suddenly glad there is no pond in this room, she murmured, then raised her hands when he stiffened, offended at her light tone. I see my death in every day as you do. How could I not, with the task we have followed these years?
Stiffened? Uh-oh.
Oh, I thought you were saying, wait a second. Oh, you want it louder? I can't hear you.
He's got it muted.
No, I was just joking. I was stiffening.
I'm really glad I paused so we could get there.
Yeah, me too.
And take two.
If there is a chance I might be given like a pet lapdog, I would at least like to know to whom I am being given. I have never seen you as a pet, Moiraine said sharply. And neither does Mirel. Mirel, he grimaced. Yes, she would have to be green or else some slip of a girl just raised to full sisterhood. If Mirel can keep her three Gaidin in line, perhaps she has a chance to manage you. Though she would like to keep you, I know. She has promised to pass your bond to another, when she finds one who suits you better. No Aes Sedai has passed her warder's bond to another in 400 years, but you intend to do it to me not once but twice. It is done, and I will not undo it. The light blind me if I'm to be passed from hand to hand. Do you at least have some idea in whose hand I will end? What I do is for your own good, and perhaps it may be for another's as well. It may be that Mirel will find a slip of a girl just raised to sisterhood. Was that not what you said? Who needs a warder hardened in battle and wise in the ways of the world? A slip of a girl who may need someone who will throw her into a pond. You have much to offer, Lan, and to see it wasted in an unmarked grave or left to the ravens, when it could go to a woman who needs it, would be worse than the sin of which the white cloaks prate. He opened his mouth twice before he spoke. And who do you have in mind for this? She cut him off. Are you sure the bond does not chafe, Lan Gaidin? Do you realize for the first time only now the strength of that bond, the depth of it? You could end with some budding white, all logic and no heart, or with a young brown who sees you as nothing more than a pair of hands to carry her books and sketches. I can hand you where I will, like a parcel or a lapdog, and you can do no more than go. Are you sure it does not chafe? Is that what this has been for? He grated. His eyes burned like blue fire and his mouth twisted. Anger, for the first time ever that she had seen, open anger etched his face. Has all this talk been a test? A test? to see if you could make my bond rub after all this time. From the day I pledged to you, I have ridden where you said ride, even when I thought it foolish, even when I had reason to ride another way. Never did you need my bond to force me. On your word, I have watched you walk into danger and kept my hands at my sides when I wanted nothing more than to outsword and carve a path to safety for you. After this, you test me? Not a test, Lan. I spoke plainly, not twisting, and I have done as I said. But at Faldara, I began to wonder if you were still wholly with me.
I think it might come back to some bond stuff, but they're going to go off on another topic there for a minute. I think we have enough.
Some bondage? What? 50 states of Wheel of Time.
Really? A bond hasn't been passed for 400 years?
Yeah, you don't really do that. It's kind of like, it's not faux pas, it's just...
But these motherfuckers have to be dying all the time. So then what?
They're not. That's the thing, is that for 400 years, there's been relative peace.
Really?
Warders of that die, you know, usually it's they're on some fucked up mission. You haven't had a lot of battle going on where they die, you know? I mean, that's just my take on it, but...
Are warders' lives expanded the way Aes Sedai's are? Or are warders dying every 80 years?
Somewhat, but not like theirs.
Yeah, so warders will die a lot more often than the Aes Sedai will die. So there's no real reason to pass the bond because they're going to outlive their warders.
Exactly. Almost always they'll outlive their warders times a couple.
Does Moraine ever talk about previous warders?
No, because they're pretty much the same age.
She's probably what? She's probably got 15 years on him or so, I'd say.
I don't even know if it's that much, because I think he's supposed to...
Really?
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be...
He's supposed to be around 40, right?
I think he is a little bit older, like mid to late 40s. And then she's probably...
How old is Gareth Bryn supposed to be? Like 55?
50 or 60s, I think. Moraine's supposed to be in her 50s, which is very young.
Her actual 50s, not just looking 50.
No, she would probably look like she's in her late 20s or early 30s.
And she would live a lot longer than, you know, she should live a lot longer, you know, several.
So he's warder number one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah, and if you think about it, so she gets out of the tower, she's probably in her early 20s. Late 20s, I think.
I was thinking like early 30s by the time she's raised to full Aes Sedai, like 30.
I would think she was probably in her... Okay, yeah.
She said she's been doing this for 20 years.
You're right. So she starts the... So if you think that Rand is born...
I'm thinking she's right around 50, between 50 and 55.
Well, think about if you think that Rand is born, was she still accepted?
But she was raised right after.
So she's been at Aes Sedai for 18 years because he's 18.
Yeah.
When do you, is there a warder process as you're going through the schooling, or do you just kind of find someone that fits your vibe?
No, they don't really cover that, do they, Jeremy?
No, so you can pretty much bond anybody, but you can go.
You just have to have their permission.
Yeah, but you can go and learn how to be a warder. Doesn't necessarily mean that you'll get chosen to be a warder.
Right.
It's just they'll teach you how to fight. And if you're exceptional, then the Aes Sedai will come down and look at you and be like, oh, that guy, he looks like he knows what he's doing. And so I'm gonna pick that guy to be my warder.
And then do you kind of court him, or is any warrior there, would they all love to be a warder?
Not necessarily, because...
Well, the ones that train to be a warder want to be, but it is, for some, it is a bit like courting, especially greens, right?
Yeah, but you also have to think, so when, say, Gawain and Galad are there... They're not going there to become warders. Traditionally, the first prince of the sword for Andor goes there to learn how to fight, to learn history, to learn tactics, how to be a good general.
Not necessarily to be a warder. Same with the daughter heir. She goes to train, but not necessarily to become full Aes Sedai, because Morghese can channel, but barely. Like not at all, almost.
Are there any instances of dudes saying, like, no, fuck that?
I'm sure there is, but they don't really talk about it that much, really.
They don't go into it? Okay.
So if you think about who we're coming from most of the time in these stories, we're coming from the people who are the most powerful most of the time. So if they go and they ask somebody, it's usually going to be a yes.
Yeah, or they have some sort of a background, you know, whether it's they fought together, they have some sort of feeling of affection, whether it's friendship or more. You know, they're not just like, hey, dude, on the street, you look like you can fight good. Do you want to be my warder and like share this very intimate bond where we know exactly what each other are feeling all the time?
Yeah, the closest I can think of is Elias. And that's because he left his Aes Sedai.
And he's still bonded to her.
Still bonded
she,
to her.
She searches him out sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Every once in a while she finds him.
He's like, leave me alone, woman. I'm trying to be a wolf brother.
Sorry, I've never looked up. I don't know why I've never just looked up bonding on fandom. So it's, I don't know. This is one of those weird things that, like, I feel like I could do a whole book just on the bond. And it doesn't sound like it sounds like in the books we get like, yeah, it's a bond. It's cool. Don't worry about it. Like, do they get into like real mind fuckery because of the bond? Like, does it really fuck with some guys? Does anyone want to get out of it? Like, is it just always the perfect marriage?
Not even close.
Okay.
Well, say it starts to come up a lot. Think about later on when another place of would Hogwarts 1.1B gets started.
Oh,
bonds start to go willy nilly a lot, and there's still, I'd say they're still consensual, if you will, but there's some that are much more of like convenience or like this has to be done now. Would normally pick you, but you're like the best of what I got to choose from. But then the bond gets used a lot, and it's one of those things that is so uncomplicated that it's complicated because it's totally nuanced.
Okay.
Is that fair to say?
Well, and it's also because I realize when I think of the bond, I think of the bond as different than like,
Does it mean something different to everybody, to every pair, you know?
I think of the warder bond as different, but like on the fandom page, like they go into like how bonding, like, cause it says bonding is a weave which creates an enduring psychic link between two individuals. Although there are several variants, the most common is the Aes Sedai warder bond. So, like, there's a lot more, like, nefarious ways of using bonding than I had initially imagined.
Well, it's like a marriage, man. It's like people got married, and it's like, you know, you can bond someone, but, like, the level that you are truly connected with that person as far as, like, even likes and dislikes, I think it varies from person to person, you know? There is a certain person who is a... I guess Black Aja, I don't know, Dark Friend, I don't know. But I don't even know if at first that, I guess it's kind of spoilery, that her warder knew that she was a Dark Friend for a long time.
Oh.
And then they kind of figure out that they're both Dark Friends. And then, you know, it's way more complicated than that.
So he was able to hide it from her also?
I don't know. See, I don't know. They don't extrapolate on it a whole lot, but... That's one example. It's like, I think you're able to hide stuff if you really want to.
Yeah.
Depending on your level of connection.
Well, in the very first books too, you're really only seeing one type of bonding, and it's female Aes Sedai to a male warder.
Is it different when we get later when we start talking about Asherman and stuff? Is it?
Yeah, if once it goes, it changes.
Well, I know Pavara and Andrals are different because they kind of each other and they can both channel, but are the Asha men, like when they bond their wives, is it different?
Well, it's different when there's the scene when the Elida sends the ladies to go to take care of, I'm trying to not spoil everything.
I'm laughing at Justin.
Me frowning at my empty whiskey cup.
I did. Every time I look up, you're emptying it. It's just getting filled off screen.
He's just like holding it out.
Fill the flagon of chuckles. Sorry, Jeremy.
No, I'm just, I do believe that it's different because when we talk about, man, how spoiler do you want to get?
Right now, I may cut some stuff out for the listener, but with me, go ham.
Be as vague as you can and make your point. That's what I try to do, and then he can cut out the rest.
Okay, listener, if you've listened to our show this far, you know that we definitely dabble in spoilers a little bit anyways, but we are about ready to go on a long rant about Rand and all of the relationships he's going to get into in the next several seasons. I don't think there's any major story spoilers, but, you know, we're going to learn, you know, just... how prolific Rand is with all of the relationships he's going to have in order to accomplish the goals he needs to save the world. Thanks for listening.
There's the scene with Rand, right? When he's already been bonded to Min, Elaine, and Avienda, right?
Right.
And then Elaine and him are going to consummate. They're trying to mask Min and Aviander are trying to mask it.
So that she doesn't know about, so they don't know what's hitting down.
So they're trying to mask it, like, and it won't work for some reason, because
they never fucking say consummate on this podcast again.
I'm trying to keep it PG, okay? But it was just, it won't work. And I don't know if it's because there was multiple people involved in the bonding.
Right.
Or if it's because Rand and two of the women can.
It's a three-way, if you will. Four-way, if you will.
Do they get busted or do they not?
It's not really a busted, because they tell Elaine, like, you need to go be with Rand tonight, basically. But like, is also Alana, is she bonded him at that point? She bonds him before everybody else, doesn't she?
Yes, that's true. Yes, Alana is still, he's already bonded.
When does she bond him? Because I'm in book four and I'm like, dude, I can't remember when she bonds him. Is it Fires of Heaven?
Six. I think it's six.
So is everybody trying to bond him to make him theirs? Or does everyone know that Rand is slutting around?
No. So when it comes to Alana, she's very brash, much more so in the books.
Yeah, she has lost a warder. That's one of the reasons why she does it, right?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
She's kind of in that like grief of aftermath. I know that.
But also she wants to keep track of him. She also knows that it will give him the gifts, because it gives you certain things that you can do.
She thinks she's doing him a favor.
Yeah.
You don't need to sleep as much. You can run longer. Like, you can go harder. But she also, it's a way for her to keep tabs on him. And then she comes to find out, like, oh, that was a bad idea.
So then when the next person comes along that wants to bond him, are they hoping to mask the original bond? Or are they just like, no, I'm going to bond you also? Like, what's the plan with that, at least? I don't know how it
is. It's way more mutual. It's just like the bond, like, you're my girlfriend and I'm going to bond you so that you can have something, because I'm never going to see you because I'm the dragon.
I'm going to die, but I love you and you and you. So she bonds all four of them together.
Rand gets around.
Can Rand bond, or is this a specific female Aes Sedai?
He could if he wanted to, but he doesn't.
Huh.
She bonds all of them together. And then Alana is just kind of also.
Who's she?
Elaine does it.
And everyone knows. Everyone's in on it. They're like, we're going to make.
They're all there. Yeah.
We're going to do this.
They all decide that they're going to share Rand, the three girls.
Why do they need her to do it?
Because she knows how to do it. So Elaine.
Oh, is bonding more than two people not easy to do?
I think it's more of like, it's a warder Aes Sedai thing, and she's not quite Aes Sedai at that time, but she has studied that. The other two, one can't channel is Min. She can't channel. The other one is Avienda, and she's an Aiel. So she doesn't know how to do all that. Does that make sense?
It does. What you're saying makes sense. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm reading so much into what I think it is. Because it just, to me, it just, the Aes Sedai warder bond makes perfect sense to me as a mutual workplace agreement.
It's like a contract, I guess, right? That's how you're thinking of it.
Yeah. But then, like, you get into the fact that, like, you know, they're never traded, which it seems to me like I can see why you would mostly want to keep greens have multiple warders and they ride all of them till the wheels fall off, or do they?
Not always.
So is it more likely that a warder for a green Aes Sedai will kind of wander over to another Aes Sedai at some point?
No, that never happens.
No, it's pretty much for life, man.
Yeah. So again, you have to think that the Aes Sedai, she's going to live 100 to 150, 200 years.
I get that, but it just
doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Usually they die protecting their Aes Sedai. That's
the one-on-one bond. Like, if you're a polygamist, the idea that you might wander into someone else's garden at some point is less shocking to me than, like, Lan. I can see why Lan isn't going to just be like, oh, I wonder what she's doing over there. Let's go check her out. But a warder for a green Aes Sedai, I can see why how A, the green Aes Sedai, she's already once more than one warder, so why not swap one out every now and then to keep it fun?
I think that maybe the TV show has done you a disservice of talking about how the bond actually is.
Yeah.
It's less about like being someone's wife or husband. It's more like being somebody's indentured servant.
or like being sworn to the same cause or something. I mean, if it's a good match. Like, dude, one of the things that they make a point of, it's like, well, aren't you glad that you are going to have somebody that keeps you involved in the fight and in the world so that you're not just toting books for a brown or writing shit for a white all day? Because that's what some warders have to do and they never fucking fight. And he's like, you are the last, you're Gaideen, you are the brother of battles, you are the last king of Malkier, you are sworn to fight the shadow. How disappointing would it be if you were stuck in the White Tower fucking jerking your dick all day and never fucking fighting?
That's a direct quote from Moraine.
Yes, exactly.
And every time you jerk off,
a Trolloc gets its wings, is what happens.
I think you mean a Drakkar gets his wings.
That's how they become a Drakkar from a Trolloc. So that's how they're made. And you're welcome, children. Birds and the bees, Watt style.
Oh my god.
Better in the belly of a Trolloc than the floor of
my RV.
So god damn it. So this is again, I think I'm asking questions that there's no reason for Robert Jordan to answer. But
he might have anyway though.
Do a lot of warder Aes Sedai bonds start out a little like, well, I guess I'm doing this. And then after a while, they realize like, oh, this isn't so bad. I'm going to live a little bit longer. I have more energy. Like, even if you're just writing scroll.
It's like a blind date for months.
Yeah. And then because Lan and Moraine, they seem like to really enjoy their relationship.
Well, they're on the same team, you know? I mean, it's like I said, it depends on the pair, you know? If you just go, hey, I'm going to need somebody who's going to carry my books and I don't give a shit if I like you, you know, there's no common ground.
How many warders do we meet that are like, ah, my bitch is calling again?
None.
None, really. Well, Varen's warders kind of like that a little bit. Ah, books!
If you really want to explore this, honestly, the best book to listen to would be New Spring, because it goes over the meeting of Moraine and Lan. And what happens with that is
the whole throwing her in a pond story is you get to hear it, right?
Yeah, all that section that they were talking about, that, you know, that very short, I don't know, maybe two paragraphs that they go over, that you get to see the whole interaction of what led up to that and what happened after that too. And what Moraine sees is like, I have this huge responsibility. I have left the tower. I don't know anybody that I can trust. And she finds one person on the planet.
And she's on the mission for Ran at that point. She is exactly. A full sister, right?
Yeah, she's on the mission. She knows what she needs to do. And she's like, I have one other person, Swan, that I can trust. Everybody else that I thought that I could trust is either dead or I'm kind of iffy on. And then she meets this guy. And she's like, you know what? If I can trust anybody else on this planet, it could be this guy. He was the last king of Malkier. All he really wants to do is die in battle fighting the shadow.
I can arrange that.
And yes, exactly. It's like, she's like, okay, if you want to do that, follow me. I will do everything I can to either let you fight the shadow for as long as possible, or we're both going to die doing it. So come with me. And so that's why she bonds him. And he never went to warder school or anything like that. He never went to Tar Valon and learned how to be a warder. So you don't have to go there and become all the warder classes and do all, you know, warder Harvard or whatever.
You don't have to maintain if you want to stay in warder school, you got to maintain a fucking 2.8 GPA.
Yeah, or you know, if you want to play warder sports, you got to be at like a 2.0.
You got to do your extracurriculars, dude.
Exactly. You can't get 2 U's and then you won't go to Disneyland.
You can't just skip ceramics because if you get too many fucking truancies, you know, you're done. No senior trip. It's all gone.
I believe that's 2 for you, McFly.
And you know what else? If you guys ever want another Patreon, I'll tell you how I got 2 U's and didn't get to go to Disneyland. I was one of the only kids. Yeah.
Oh, dangerous. Jeremy's most rebellious act ever.
Yeah, I know. And then I went to prison.
Me and Des are like, let us tell you how we went to jail. Jeremy's like, I didn't get to go to Disneyland for senior trip.
I totally did.
Funnily enough, of all the conversations we have, this is the one that has left me more confused. And that's my fault. You guys have done a great job.
Really?
Everyone's done a great job.
I thought we were being so clear.
Well, I think you guys are very clear. I think I'm unclear on is just the vagueness of the term bonding. The Warder Aes Sedai bond, I think I get it, but I think...
Think of it with a capital B. It's an actual, it's a verb, it's a, you know, it's like, I got it. It's like, what is it when the, like a shark and a remora, what is that? It's like a...
Oh, symbiotic relationship.
It's like that because they both get something out of it.
Yes.
But that's, but if not every warder is super stoked about being a warder, then... At what point does it become symbiotic?
So the point where you're at, though, they're all going to be, it's all going
to
be that.
Yeah, dude. If you get chosen to be a warder, it's kind of an honor. Like, you got to think of it that way. You don't get chosen a warder because you're a fat dude drinking wine by the fire. You get chose because you could fucking fight and you like fighting.
Why do you care if they can fight if you're going to be a book hauler? Why does she give a shit how...
You never know where you got to go look for books, bro. You could have to go to Stockton.
You know what? Maybe you're trying to get, you know, the
that's the last copy
or some shit.
Go get me that book.
You never know.
Remember how hard it was to get the book in Doctor Strange, that movie I just watched, man. It was hard to get the Book of Shanti or whatever.
You know what's funny, though? What this has made me oddly excited about is the idea of a video game, and this mechanic in a video game would be really cool. Like, if you...
Wait, what mechanic?
The bonding one. Like, depending on who...
Oh, you could make it like Conjuring something.
Or maybe even a fucking co-op game where one of you is an Aes Sedai and one of you is a warder. Imagine a co-op game where I have to sword people to keep them off you while you fucking... Done. TM.
Back in the day, I always thought that it would be a real good RTS, real-time strategy game.
Yeah.
Because you could have the Shan-Chan, and then they could have spellcasters, and then you have, like...
Dude, yeah, you could make it like fucking Civilizations or whatever, you know? Like,
exactly, yeah.
That'd be dope as fuck!
Yeah, and it never got... I thought for sure that would be, like, a really good... You know, especially with the Age of Empires and Age of Mythology and what was the other, like StarCraft and Warcraft and all those going on. I thought for sure that they would come out with one of those.
You know what I'll have to do? I'll have to, when my nephew's in town, he has a lot of RTSs, and I'll have to see if any of them have a Wheel of Time mod. Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter.
God, please like us.
We are Wolf Brothers at Parsdaleman. This is Wolf Brothers at Parsdaleman. Send us questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. And yes, please, I've been waiting to do like a big, like us, please like us, tell everybody. Like, I've been saving I've been waiting to do our telethon until season two started, because it's like, tell everyone that season two started and get on the bandwagon, but it's not coming. So I guess I'm going to do just an end of the year bag.
Get our Thank the Light tote bag.
Yeah, totally.
All right. All right. Ready. Shh. March 23rd.
Okay.
March 23rd. Mark your calendars. That means we have 3 more months. Hopefully we'll get some origins in there. But anyways, what we're going to do, because they're not going to give us a new Wheel of Time, what we're going to do for our last episode of the year is we're going to watch the movie Willow. Justin is going to get hammered.
Yes.
And talk about...
Old Willow or the new one?
Old Willow.
The movie. We're going to watch the movie, the 1980s movie. Justin will probably watch a couple old Star Wars movies.
Well, I'm
going to
be into it because it's, you know, Val Kilmer.
Dang right. Prettiest man alive.
We're not going to do an official commentary, but I will buy it on Amazon so we can do a party. Yeah, it's another fantasy property. I always kind of like, you know, maybe, you know, we keep talking about maybe doing a Patreon or something. And I never want to hide any Wheel of Time content. So I thought like maybe we'll talk about other fantasy stuff on there because I think, you know, Wheel of Time, you know, we're obviously, you know, going hard on that. But this kind of, you know, makes us.
You said hard on. Sorry.
So join us next time. We're going to be talking about the classic 1980s movies Willow. If you're getting into the show, this is where it all began. Apparently, there were some dumb books written about it. Jeremy can tell us all about that.
Is that our next episode, as we're doing on Willow?
While we're on the subject, don't rub your bond too hard.
Duty is heavier than a mountain sheep herder.
Jenny, if you're still listening to this, you're going to fall in love with Matt. He is awesome. And why are you still listening to this? Because this is way past the part that I should have told you.
And also, Daddy's so sorry for cousin Justin. He's so sorry.
Dad is so sorry, please.
You've never really met me, but I love you. Sure, you're a great kid.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. No, I'm just trying to get to my goddamn question.
Well, while we got a second, get this on tape. Oh, wait, it is.